Good morning, Victory. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all good? Hey, listen, I'm bringing some energy, and y'all sound like y'all haven't had y'all coffee yet. How y'all doing this morning? Praise the living God. So excited to jump into part four of our Selfless series. But before I do, I want to give a special shout out to my peeps up in Indy Campus. Hey, a holy kiss from our people right here at Franklin's. We love you bunches. I'll tell you what, I am incredibly grateful that I get to do ministry alongside of some extremely talented people that absolutely love the Lord and that are just committed to seeing lives being transformed by the power of God. I also know that they have several watch parties happening across the U.S. Hey, listen, y'all, we are excited that you're joining us today, and we just want to say thank you for being a part of the Victory family. I'll tell you what, over the past 4 weeks, we have been diving into the subject of selflessness. And one question that has been guiding us through the series is this: what if the key to self-improvement isn't thinking more about yourself, but instead becoming selfless? Thinking about yourself less. You might remember in week one, Josh, he encouraged us to be bold in witness, to get out of our comfort zones and do like the first followers of Jesus did. They asked God for the boldness to proclaim his truth no matter what struck them. So regardless of how we feel, that we would pray that the Lord would give us the boldness to share the gospel, thinking of ourselves less as we, Jesus followers, do what Jesus followers do. We do not follow our own hearts. No, we follow Jesus' command to go. In week two, you might remember that David, he spoke to us about abandoning greed and seeing our possessions as God's property, rather than saying, this is mine and that is mine. You ever heard a baby like, mine, 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 and they cry, mine. You know, that we change our perspective and see our possessions as God's property, understanding that we are mere stewards of what God has provided for us. Having this perspective, y'all, helps us to become selflessly generous. And in week three, last week, you might remember that Josh, he came back at us with the principle of becoming selfless through service, allowing God to use you to leverage your life for an eternal impact. Becoming a game changer, not sitting around on a Sunday morning wondering what God can do for you, but rather seeking out what God, eagerly seeking out what God can do through you. Becoming selfless by focusing on serving others. You might remember that Josh, he encouraged us to engage people in meaningful ways, to engage people in meaningful ways. And even as I share that, I'm reminded of one story that is told of a man who traveled, you know, into the city, you know, into a distant city for business. And get this, as he was walking through the city, he came across a friend that had fallen on hard times, you know. So the friend, you know, he had become homeless. He's sleeping out in the streets, and so the businessman, he spent some time with his friend talking, you know, chopping it up, laughing together, reminiscing, and as they talked, he couldn't help but to feel sorry for this man. So, you know, he went into his pocket, he pulled out a $50 bill, and he pressed it into his hands before heading out to his business meeting. And so several years go by, and the businessman, he comes back into town, into the city, and, you know, he's making his way down the street, and he noticed his friend again. So he stopped. He spent a little time with him chatting again. And, you know, before he left, he went into his pocket, and he didn't have much this time, but he pulled out what he had and he put $10 into his friend's hand. And so the homeless man, he looks at the $10 and says, "What's this? The last time you saw me, you gave me $50. Now it's only 10? So the businessman, he was like, "Oh, you know what, man? I tell you what, I got married. I have a child now. You know, we got a house together, so my expenses are far greater than they used to be back then." So the homeless man, he responds with, "Oh, I get it. So you're trying to raise a family on my money?" Some people, right? Just ungrateful. You ever meet anyone like that? If you have, I could raise my hand and say, me too. Today in part four of our selfless series, we're going to be talking about, you might have guessed it, we're going to be talking about gratitude. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about gratitude. In fact, you cannot spend any significant amount of time reading the Bible without coming across the phrase, give thanks. It appears over 76 times in the Bible, and on a broader scale, the theme of thankfulness is mentioned over 72 times in the gospel by itself, let alone throughout the entire New Testament. And if you are not a Jesus follower in the house today, guess what? You get to choose. You can either be grateful or you could choose not to be grateful. However, if you are a Jesus follower, I'll repeat, if you are a Jesus follower, you don't get the same options. In 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 18, Paul, he doesn't suggest, but he commands that we be thankful. Not only for kind acts or actions done toward us, but in all circumstances. And get this, if you want to know what the will of God is for your life, then here it is. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus. So my question is, do you belong to Jesus? If so, then that's you. That's me. Merriam-Webster, she defines gratitude as the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. So that's pretty basic, right? As parents, we teach our kids, you know, how to say thank you when a kind act is done, you know, something nice is done toward them. You know, sometimes even we practice what we preach. Like when you know that your breath is hot, like you got the dragon breath and flames are just shooting out your mouth and somebody gives you a lifesaver and you're like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I'm so grateful. Yeah. Even non-Christians sometimes express gratitude, but we all know that one person that is not very good at expressing gratitude. Actually, we might know way more than just one person that's not very good at expressing gratitude. In fact, Jesus, he met 9 of them in one day. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 tells us that as Jesus continued toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. We have a map here, and I want you to know that this is a very real place that exists today. And so, you know, Jesus is in this region, and as he enters a village that is within this region, 10 men with leprosy, they stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go. That's an interesting word. Go. They probably were used to hearing that word. Go, get out of here. Go. Don't be next to me. But Jesus uses it in a different context here. He says, go, show yourself to the priests. And as they went, the Bible continues to tell us, they were cleansed of their leprosy. You see, like Josh taught us last week, Jesus did something for them. And guess what? As we read more of the text, we learn that 9 out of 10 never returned to say thank you. And I get it. I think I can relate to some of these lepers. I've been there before. I mean, I'm so fixated on my own need that when my need is met, I say finally rather than saying thank you. I say finally because now I can move on with my life. I may have been grateful, but I never came back to say anything. Maybe those lepers were grateful. They just never returned to express gratitude. Maybe they were on their way, as they were on their way, they, you know, started to regain feeling in their hands, and the only thing that they could think about is, I'm going back to work. Yes, this is awesome. Super excited, happy. They just never returned. Maybe they were on their way and they noticed that the disease, you know, as it was being cleansed, they thought the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to hug my children. I'm going to hug my wife because prior to that, they had not been able to do that. That's the only thing they're thinking about. The only problem is, while it may be great and beautiful desire, they just never came back. None of them came back. In fact, actually, it was just one of them, the Bible tells us. when he saw he was healed, the Bible tells us that he came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" And it didn't stop there, y'all. Check this out. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. Jesus didn't only do something for this man. Check this out, y'all. He did something through this man. He returned, the Bible says, glorifying God and giving thanks. And in doing so, Luke records for the world to read what a proper response to life change should look like. A proper response to life change looks like acknowledging what has been done to you and returning to give thanks, to show gratitude. Y'all feel me, y'all? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Listen, y'all. I need you to understand something this morning. Expressing gratitude, it doesn't come naturally. That's a fact. Think about your baby. I mean, what baby you know ever said thank you after you've lost weeks upon weeks of sleep? I mean, think about it. After you stayed long lines trying to buy them diapers and formula and wipes and all these things. What baby you know has ever said thank you after playing the airplane game? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, after wiping their faces after they've eaten, or, you know, cleaning barf off of their onesie. Think about it. How about cleaning their tush after they've done a number two? Hey, they never said, "Thank you, mommy." No, even at an older age, they never say thank you. They like expect it to be done, right? Expressing gratitude does not come naturally. Get this, for those of you who are taking notes, it is something that is first taught and then it is caught. I'll say it again. It is first something that is taught and then it is caught. Like when a kind act is done to your child and, you know, they don't say thank you, and you as a good parent, you immediately ask them, "What do you say?" Right? And what do they respond with? They say, "Thank you. Thank you," right? You see, eventually, what they learn as a child is caught, and now they understand the proper response to the feeling that they get when they are grateful. They say, "Thank you." And what's crazy about this is that because gratitude is not natural, it is also not common. Apparently, it wasn't common in Jesus' day. I mean, you had 9 out of 10 people that just received something from Jesus and just kept it moving. In fact, as we look deeper into the text, we see that Jesus not only notices the ingratitude of the 9 that never returned, he highlights it. Jesus says, Didn't I heal 10 men? Jesus, you know you healed 10 men. Where are the other 9? Jesus, you know where they are too. Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Why did Jesus have to go there with these questions? The 9 obviously didn't come back. He went there because he wanted both me and you to understand the importance of gratitude. And if Jesus highlights something, it is worth paying attention to, y'all. If Jesus highlights something, it is worth paying attention to. So take a moment and ask yourself, you know, where do you lead your life as one of the 9, or do you lead your life as a person that comes back glorifying God and giving thanks? Rate yourself. Whatever you do, don't ask your spouse to rate you, you know, because they might be honest. So unless you want honesty, you know what I mean? Now, rate yourself. Where do you land on the gratitude meter? Where do you land? I know for me, sometimes it really depends on the circumstance. This is just me being real with y'all. I'm not going to sit here and act super, you know, spiritual as if I got this thing figured out all the time. No, I am a work in progress, and so are you. But can you imagine a world that is full of gratitude? I mean, like somebody cut you off in traffic and you just swell up with gratitude because you slowed down just in time so nobody got hurt, and you just roll up right next to them, that awkward moment, you know what I'm talking about? And you just give them a warm smile. with a thumbs up instead of the universal number one sign. You know what I'm talking about? All right, man, this would be just a whole different kind of world. If everyone would just be grateful, the world would be a very different place, y'all. How many of you know that expressing gratitude is actually physically healthy for you, y'all? It's physically healthy for you. In an article titled The Science of Gratitude, they outlined several benefits to showing gratitude for the individual. It results in increased happiness and positive mood, more satisfaction with life, less materialistic, less likely to experience burnout, better physical health, better sleep, less fatigue, lower levels of cellular inflammation, greater resiliency, and get this, encourages the development of patience, humility, and wisdom. That's just for individuals. For groups, it increases pro-social behaviors, it strengthens relationships, and get this, bosses, those of you who are bosses out there, check this out, may help employees' effectiveness at work. Gratitude, that's what it does. May increase job satisfaction. The study goes on to share that every time a person expresses or receives gratitude, dopamine is released in the brain. And if you're sitting here today and you don't know what dopamine is that feel-good, happy juice that flows through your brain that makes you feel like good, real good. Y'all follow? So talk about self-improvement. You want to improve? Just be more grateful. Are y'all grateful today? Yeah, praise the Lord for that. I feel like I could drop the mic right here because, you know, you're in the house today and you could be a Jesus follower or a non-Jesus follower, and this is helpful for you. You can walk away from this message right now and have a clear next step on how to improve your walk with Jesus or how to improve your walk through life. However, I cannot come away from the reality that gratitude is somewhat selfish in nature. What do you mean by that? Think about it. Gratitude, it starts with you, and then it ends with you. It starts with you, and it ends with you. So gratitude by itself cannot be selfless. And since this series is all about being selfless, the question that we are confronted with is this. Is it possible to express a selfless kind of gratitude? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's circle back to the verse that we read a little bit earlier. Paul, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, he writes, "Be thankful in some circumstances." No, be thankful in all circumstances. Now, that, my friends, is a powerful statement. In all circumstances? Not just when somebody does something nice to me. What if somebody committed a violent act against me? What if my life feels like it's in the midst of a hurricane? Am I supposed to be thankful? What if I get bit by a snake? Am I supposed to be thankful for that? What if I'm forced to go into prison for doing something good, and now I'm away from my family and I'm away from my friends? Am I supposed to express gratitude for that? If you ask those questions to Paul, he would unequivocally say yes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, he takes us on a journey and reveals moments of pain in his life. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked, not to mention that one of those instances he was bitten by a venomous snake. He goes on to say, I spent night and day in an open sea. Can you imagine that? In an open sea, sharks surrounding him, the fear that may have, you know, flowed through his mind after having been shipwrecked. He goes on to say, I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, I've been in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, this danger all around this man, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. He goes on to say, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold, y'all. I have experienced being naked. Talk about going through it. Paul had been through a lot. And in light of all that he had been through, he writes, be thankful in all circumstances. This is what selfless gratitude looks like. Selfless gratitude says, I am grateful to God despite my circumstances. My circumstances might be hard. My circumstances might be painful. My circumstances might even be embarrassing. But I can be grateful to God for who He is and what He has done and continues to do in my life. This means that I can look someone in the eye and tell them, I want what's best for you, even if it's not best for me. Selfless gratitude is the kind of gratitude that stands out. Selfless gratitude is the kind of gratitude that Paul encourages Jesus followers to embrace. Remember, if you are not a Jesus follower in the house today, this does not apply to you. But if you are a follower of Jesus, if you belong to Jesus, it is not a suggestion to be thankful in all circumstances. It's our duty. And I would throw this one PowerPoint out there too. Selfless gratitude is not something that is developed overnight. This level of gratitude can only come from spending quality time in the presence of the Father. It can only come from maturing in Christ. And I'll tell you what, this idea is sunk into me one day while I was sitting in a supermax prison. I was 6 years into my bid at this point. You know, I had been walking closely with Jesus for about the same time, and it was about this time in my bid that I learned how to stop praying for God to get me out of prison. I had been praying for years for God to get me out of prison, and one day, my prayers changed. My posture shifted. Rather than praying to get out of jail or get out of prison, one day I prayed, God, I am okay with spending the rest of my life in prison because I am free. But if you want me to come home, I need a clear vision and a clear mission for what you want me to do when I come home. You see, this prayer was no longer about what God could do for me. The Holy Spirit helped me to pray for what God can do through me. So despite the time that I was doing, I found freedom. Despite the time that I was doing, I found peace because I chose to surrender my will to the Father. And that was the Holy Spirit empowering me to die to myself. I could express gratitude for my prison experience. And people would think I'm crazy when I would say I'm grateful to be in prison. What? You're grateful to be in prison? You see, what they didn't understand is that God helped me to have a posture shift. Make no mistake about it, y'all. Gratitude is an expression. However, selfless gratitude is a posture. Paul, you think about Paul. He could have said, I never asked to be bitten by a snake. Paul never asked to be stoned, never asked to be chained to a Roman guard. Nope. If he would have said, if I had an option, I probably would have declined. But since it's not about me, and it's all about the one who saved me, I can give glory to God even when the enemy seeks to wreak havoc on my life. This was Paul's story. This was the story of many of the first followers of Jesus. This is what was said of them. What can be said of you? What's your story? More specifically, what's your posture? At the outset of the series, Josh, he said, what if the key to self-improvement wasn't thinking more about yourself, but instead becoming selfless. If something as simple as expressing gratitude has the power to better your health, can you imagine what having a selfless gratitude can do for you? Having a selfless gratitude will ultimately better your mind, your body, and your soul. Selfless gratitude, it sets us up to be bold in witness. A selfless gratitude, it sets us up to be generous with our possessions. It sets us up to be faithful in serving others. And as the music ministry makes their way on the stage, I want you to remember that gratitude is an expression, and selfless gratitude is a posture. What if we had a posture shift right here, right now? What if right now you chose to submit all of your worries to the Lord? What if right now you chose to throw up your hands and surrender to Jesus? What if right here, right now, you chose to recklessly abandon yourself in Christ? When you have no more words to say, when you feel like you have nothing new, what if right here, right now, you postured yourself in selfless gratitude, throwing your hands up, praising God again and again, regardless of how you feel, regardless of your circumstances, when all you have left is a hallelujah, when all you have left is a hallelujah. I wonder if there's anyone out there right now, here in Franklin, there in Indy, I wonder if there's anyone out there right now that will rise to your feet and sing with us. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Will you stand with us? Will you sing with us? Will you recklessly abandon yourself in Christ?
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get tired on me with a pure song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me and lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs.
Listen, y'all, make no mistake about it. Selfless gratitude reflects the heart of Jesus. Think about it. Just before Jesus was going to be arrested and crucified, the first thing that he did was what? He gave thanks. Can you imagine knowing that you are about to be brutalized, that nails are about to be pierced through your wrists and through your feet? That you are about to die and you are still teaching the principle of giving thanks. when he taught his disciples this, you know, he said to do this in remembrance of me. So if you have your communion cups, if you're here in Franklin, if you're there in Indy, as one community, as one body, for those of you who are on the watch parties, we're going to have communion together. We're going to be obedient. In fact, we're going to follow Jesus' instructions. And we're going to together take communion and express gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. We thank you, God, for what you are doing in our lives. We thank you for the ways that you bring us together, that you unite us. And God, right now, we bow our hearts and we raise our hands to you in complete gratitude, in selfless gratitude. No matter what is happening around us right now, Lord God, we choose you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you feel like right now at this moment God is dealing with your heart, you may feel like God, you know, you're ready. You're saying, I want to live in deeper intimacy with the King of Glory. I want to encourage you to step out of these doors. If you're here in Franklin, go to your left. There's a Next Steps room there. We got people that are willing and ready to pray with you to help you take that next step. If you are at our Indy campus, we have leaders that are right in the room with you. They are willing and ready to pray right now with you. So as we close, remember, here at Victory, we don't just go to church. We are the church everywhere we go. Love y'all. Have a great week.